whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. When we hear this very familiar phrase of Jesus, what's our first thought? How do we interpret that normally? Oftentimes when we think of discipleship as taking up our cross, we think of, well, I have to accept those burdens of everyday life or those particular sufferings that the Lord invites me into. You know, we think of, well, I've gotten sick today. I've got a cold or I've got the flu, and so I'm going to offer that up. That's my cross. Or maybe there's something that about someone, my spouse, my kids, my parents, that annoys me. Or someone is moving a little slowly on the road and I have to get somewhere very quickly. And that's a little cross. Those are all true. Those are in some ways the smaller crosses that we have to bear. And sometimes there are even larger things. Bigger illnesses, bigger trials, maybe in the family life of finances or just arguments that are ongoing. Those are maybe bigger crosses. What would Jesus' first audience have thought when he said, whoever does not take up their cross and follow after me is not worthy of me? How would they have interpreted that? Because while we have the thing that we normally think of, it would be striking if we understood how his first listeners, his apostles, who were first century Jews, would have taken that phrase. And that might be enlightening for us to reflect upon. What was the cross to the first century Jewish people, who had not yet seen Jesus give himself on the cross, on Calvary? The cross to the first century Jew is a sign of fear and of torture and of oppression. The Romans knew a lot of things very well, but one thing they knew how to do very, very well is how to put people down and to torture them. And the cross is the greatest sign of how well they knew how to do that. Because not only was it a gruesome death, a long, prolonged, painful death, it was a humiliating death. When they crucified people, they didn't just crucify them inside a stadium, inside a confined space where only the guards and maybe the judge who condemned them would see them. No, they crucified them out on the public streets. Think about that. Not only were these people suffering, they were humiliated. Everyone, as they passed by, could see. And that was a sign to the people that the Romans oppressed under their control. Don't mess with us, or this will be your fate. It was a sign of humiliation, of persecution, oppression. That, when Jesus says, whoever does not take up their cross, that is the first thing that pops into the head of any in first century Israel would have heard. That's what they would have thought. It comes with a very different feeling, doesn't it, when you understand that? What Jesus is trying to tell us. Especially when we see that before this statement in this passage, he says the following: whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he concludes this, he says, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The cross that Jesus invites us into is not just the ordinary little annoyances or burdens of life. While that is important that we offer those up, the cross is what it takes for us to be a disciple. The cross that we embrace as his disciples is that we will not be welcomed by everyone if we live for Jesus. We will not be accepted by everyone if we live for him and for his truth. We will not be liked by everyone if we live for his truth. It's a reminder to us of what it takes to be a disciple, of the kind of commitment that Jesus is asking of us as his disciples. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is, are you willing to follow me all the way to the cross, accepting all the humiliation, the laughter, the mockery, the rejection, the humiliation, the persecution that that entails, even from those whom perhaps you love the most? See, the reality of being a disciple of Jesus is that we love him above all things. And we want others to know that love. We want others to know Jesus. We want to bring people to know Jesus, to love him like we do. But not everyone is ready to do that. And in fact, many want nothing to do with Jesus. It's a reminder to us that the message that we preach of Jesus died and risen is one that goes completely against what the world wants people to think, what the world wants people to live. The gospel that we preach is in opposition to much in our world. The world preaches confusion. The world preaches that you do what you want to do, not what Jesus asks of us, not what God created you for. Do what you want. Jesus comes to free us from that. Jesus says, come after me. Come and live the life that I have called you to. But that life is not easy. Jesus promises us a life that will really sustain and fulfill every desire of our hearts. But that life is not easy. And with it comes the cross. It means that are we willing to preach what Christ has told us, the truth he's come to bring, even if those in our own family, our friend circles, laugh at us? Not that we beat them over the head with the Bible, but that we just live the life that Jesus has called us and say it, proclaim it with our words. To be a disciple means to embrace the cross in all that that entails. And today, the challenge to us from Jesus is, are you committed to that? Are you committed to live for me, no matter what it takes? The martyrs we venerate because they exemplify that life, that they were willing to give until they could give no more, because they had given their whole life. And while we, in this room, not all of us are called to be martyrs in that way, all of us are called to embrace the cross, to embrace dying to ourselves if we are to be his disciples. And so the question to each one of us is, are you committed? Are you ready to follow Jesus no matter where it takes you? And if not, let us pray for that grace to commit ourselves fully to Christ no matter what it takes.